I'd like to read tonight in the opening part of the meeting for a few moments in the Gospel of Matthew, the first Gospel, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. The Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And reading at verse 35. Matthew 24, and reading at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now that'll suffice for our reading tonight, and trust the Lord will give that needed help. I'm thinking very simply from this portion tonight, I'm thinking very simply of something that we don't know. Of course, if we're all honest tonight, we would have to admit, each one of us, there's a lot of things that we don't know. As far as life is concerned, there's a lot of things that we don't know. And we could speak, I suppose, about a number of different things that the Bible would bring before us that we don't know. One thing is the day of death, of course. We don't know the day of our death. The Bible reminds us that. Well, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, but we don't know when that day is going to take place. But from this portion tonight, and I would like to make an application, of course, but I see in this portion tonight of Matthew chapter 24, the truth of the Lord's coming back again. And that's what I want to think about tonight, the Lord's coming. One of the greatest event that's going to happen, that's going to take place, and it's been referred to night after night, but the greatest event that's going to take place that this world is going to experience, and it could happen tonight. That's in the preaching of the gospel we seek to present to men and women and boys and girls. This great event could happen tonight, friend. Even while we're gathered here in this gospel meeting and gospel meetings across the land, the greatest event that this world, at least one of the greatest, why, when the Lord Jesus came into the world, born of the Virgin, and he went to the cross of Calvary, that was a tremendous event of the death of the Lord Jesus. No, none other like it. That will never take place again. And that very same person, friend, the Bible declares, he's coming back again. And that could happen tonight. And so something that we don't know when the Lord is going to come. The Bible says, in such an hour as you think not. If I was to ask you tonight, did you think about the Lord's coming today? Did you, as you got out of bed this morning and looked out perhaps at the outside, did it cross your mind that this could be the day that the Lord is going to come? Well, I would say that not too many of us, if we're honest tonight, there's probably not too many of us here, preacher included, that really thought as we looked out over the world towards the mountains there or whatever the went about our work, that we thought today could be the day that the Lord Jesus is going to come. What a day that would be. Friend, what a day in the life of the Christian. What a day in the life of those of us that are saved. That moment when that shout is given, and we rise to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. But what a tremendous day it would be for those that are not saved. What a tremendous day in your life, friend. If you're not saved in this gospel meeting tonight, this would be the most tragic day that ever you opened your eyes to. If this was the day the Lord came. You know, there was a a couple stayed at our house in Nova Scotia a few years ago. And they came to from Boston to a conference. And while they were staying there, of course, they were relating some stories of where they live. They told us a story about their next-door neighbor. And one day, the next-door neighbor awoke in the morning and his car was gone. Well, he said to his wife, somebody must have stole our vehicle because the car is missing. So they went out and looked all around, and sure enough, that must have been what happened. So he thought he should call the police and tell them. So he called the police and made the news known. And they searched a little bit for the car that day. But you know, no car turned up. The man got up the next morning, and when he looked out his window the next morning, lo and behold, his car was sitting in the driveway in his yard. Well, he said to his wife, that's a strange thing, he said. I never expected to see that. So, of course, he called the police back and told them that his car was returned. And when he was out looking in his car, on the dash of the car was an envelope. And so he opens up the envelope, and inside is a letter. And the letter is written, "Sorry that we took your car, but it was something that came up vitally important, and your car was the only one that we could get our hands on, and so we took it. And we're sorry for any inconvenience that it might have caused you, and just to show that we appreciate it, we filled it full of gas for you." And sure enough, the car was full of gas, and the letter said, "And here's a couple of tickets to the baseball game in Boston on a certain day," whatever, when Boston played. Well, looked at his wife, he said, maybe the world's not all bad after all. Maybe there are some good people out there. So, the day rolls around of the baseball game. So they take their tickets and head off to the stadium to watch the baseball game. Enjoyed the game, had a grand time at the ball game, I suppose. And so then they arrive back home. But do you know what they find? When they arrive back home, everything in the house was gone. They'd been set up. So the people had taken the car only for the purpose that they might get them free of the house, clear of the house, so that they might do what they really wanted to do. So the people realize, when it was too late, actually what was happening. And you know, when I read about this, the goodman of the house, when I read this today, the goodman of the house, if he'd known when the thief was going to come, he'd have stayed home. He wouldn't have left the house. And so I thought of that when I thought of the gospel and souls getting saved and individuals, the importance of God's salvation. I thought of it, friend, you know, if a person only could realize before it is too late the importance of God's salvation, the truth of the Lord's coming, why, they would get down to business about God's salvation. They would get down to business about being saved. If you know for sure, friend, every person in this gospel meeting tonight, if we went down each side of this building tonight, on this side and on this side of the building tonight, and we were to ask you, and you knew for sure, 100% for sure, that the Lord Jesus was going to come ere the midnight hour struck, and we would ask you, friend, whether you would be interested in being saved or not. I mean, if you really knew it. If you 100% knew it. There wouldn't be one soul in this meeting tonight that would rest knowing the truth of God's salvation and knowing what's going to happen after the Lord comes, that the door of salvation is going to be closed. There wouldn't be one person, friend, that wouldn't be anxious to be saved. You would be put in a turmoil to get saved if you knew for sure the Lord Jesus was going to come. Well, I want to tell you, friend, He could come tonight. Just as sure as we're in this meeting, the Lord Jesus could come tonight. The shout could be given. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ rise first. Every soul that has died in Christ is going to be raised first, then we which are alive and remain, caught up together with them, to meet the Lord in the air. If the Lord came tonight, friend, how would he find you? I want to think of this portion that we read very simply. I want to think of the sureness of the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, the Bible says, but my Word shall never pass away. The sureness of the Word of God, it is something that is perfect and it is something that is permanent. The Word of God, we've been reminded of that in nights past. This Word that we hold in our hand, the Word of God, the Bible, friend, is a perfect Word. And it is a permanent Word. And it is a sure Word. It is a Word that you could depend upon with all your heart tonight, what this Word says. The Bible speaks about man's sin. We've been told about that in past nights. The Bible is sure concerning your sin and my sin. The Bible declares that all have sinned. God just writes over every individual in the whole wide world, friend. But we bring it in this building tonight. And every one of us in this gathering, from the speaker to the back of the building tonight, friend, God has declared over every person that all have sinned, that there is no difference. It matters not where we were born. It matters not the family that we were born into. It matters not the circumstances that we were born in. Whether I'm born in a Christian home, as I was, my mom and dad say, God declares, David is a sinner. Whether you're born, friend, outside of a Christian home and never heard the gospel, or maybe this is the first time you've heard it, God still declares there's no difference. Friend, absolutely no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the Bible is 100% sure. We need to accept that. We need to just stand upon it. Well, I might resist it. I didn't like the thought of God's judgment for my sin. I didn't like to face the fact, friend, that if I died without the Savior, that I was going to be in hell for eternity. I didn't like to look out into eternity and realize that there was no hope beyond the grave for me. Why, we like to think that there's some hope after death. Surely God is a God of love and God a God of mercy. Surely there's something in my life that God will find that he'll show favor to me about, and everything will be all right and I won't have to worry about the judgment of God. No, friend, the Bible declares very clearly, very plainly. And it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It is sure. And the Bible declares that every person without Christ as their Savior is going to meet with the judgment of God for the eternal ages. And when I faced that, friend, in the light of the Word of God, I became troubled about where I was going to be in eternity. Why, when I thought of that step beyond death, I read the paper today and three young lives, teenage lives, over this weekend was snuffed out. And they're in eternity. I want to tell you, they know what it's all about tonight. You and I are here, and we're enjoying some health and strength, and we're breathing God's free air, and we're just drifting through life, taking one day after another. But there's three young lives from this area on Marine Way, I believe it was, they were traveling, and instantly, three young lives cut off in the midst of their years and are gone into eternity tonight. Why, if we could hear the sound, the voice from eternity tonight, they would have a message to declare to us. They would speak to boys and girls in this meeting, maybe in their teenage years, the same as they were. And they would have a message for us tonight, if we could hear the cry. But I want to tell you, God has declared in His book, He has given us a word that we can be sure of, 100% assured of. After death, the Bible says, the judgment. And so we need to face our sin. We need to face our destiny. If I was to ask you tonight, where are you going when you die? On the chart behind us, of course, mentioned on night, the road of life on which we're traveling, the pillar of death,
of which we're facing and the great eternity of which we're going. And if I was to ask you tonight, friend, where are you going for eternity? We're going somewhere. Every one of us are going somewhere. Only two roads before us lie, and each a choice must make. One upward to the skies, one downward to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Each must answer yes or no. Friend, tonight you must answer. Will it be the narrow road for heaven? Will it be Christ as your Savior? Or will you refuse God's offer of mercy? Well, when I think of the sureness of the Word, tells us the Lord Jesus is coming. I think of the secrecy of His return. We read tonight, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So I think of the secrecy of the Lord's return. If I went up and down this aisle and up and down these rows tonight, and was to ask every person, can you tell me when the Lord is coming? If I asked the boys and girls here tonight, would you be able to give me a time when the Lord is coming? And you know, there's not one friend. God has not given to us the moment of when the Lord Jesus is going to come. That's why the urgency, that's why the importance of getting the matter settled, getting right with God. That's why God has declared, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's why God never promises tomorrow, friend. For tomorrow may be one day too late for any person in this gathering. Tomorrow could be one day too late for you, friend. If the Lord Jesus comes tonight, if that shout is sounded forth tonight, if the world of Christians hears that voice that's heralded, come forth. And the Christians rise to be with Christ. Friend, the door of salvation for you is going to shut. And if that door closes tonight, then you'll find yourself on the wrong side of a closed door. That's why God declares, come now. The Lord declares, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's salvation is offered tonight. And through the gospel, friend, the invitation goes forth to men and women, boys and girls, to whosoever. And tonight in this meeting, the invitation goes forth to you. Would you like to be saved, friend? Would you like to know your sins forgiven? Would you like to know that you're ready when the Lord comes? Well, He could come tonight. The secrecy of His return tells me of the necessity of getting right with God. Then I think of He doesn't give us the day nor the hour, but you know, He lets us in a little bit to the state of His return. And so He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was it like in the days of Noah? They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and right until the moment that they knew not, and the flood came and took them all away. So we don't have the day nor the hour, but we do have a little picture, at least, of the state of the world when the Lord returns. And what do we find today in the day and age in which we're living? Why, the world was never in such a condition we would think before, but the Bible says that it's the same as in Noah's day. And then in Luke chapter 17, it tells us the same is in Lot's day. And I've often thought, why, you put them both together, and you bring it right down into our day, the day just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Tremendous days, friend. Read the newspaper and listen to the radio and see what's happening in our world. Sin that's abounding in the world, the power of sin that's being demonstrated in the world. And of course, the world wouldn't call it sin. People wouldn't call it sin. Live any old way they like. Do any old thing they want. Act any old way they please, and it is not sin. But God declares it is sin. Well, no matter what people say, no matter what persons speak against it, God has declared that it is sin. And just as it was sin in Noah's day that called down the judgment of God upon a world that was ruined by sin, and practicing sin and going in for sin. So our world today is calling for the judgment of God to purge the world of the wickedness that is in the world today. Why? The world is reeking with wickedness. Hatred against God. Rebellion against fellow man. Why, a life today is hardly worth a, as we say, hardly worth a nickel. Some places today, a person's life, friend, your life wouldn't be worth the snap of the finger. And sin is at the root of the whole thing of greed and lust and everything else you want to call it. I tell you, we're living in tremendous days. Days right on the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think of the state of His return. When I think of the state of His return, it says that Noah went in. Noah and his family went in. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. When I was thinking about that, do you know what that tells me? The people in Noah's day didn't realize or didn't recognize what was happening. And they didn't recognize it until they were taken away. When I thought of that, I brought that into our day. You know, the world about us, they don't recognize what's happening. They don't see, they don't understand, although they might say something has to happen. Well, the world can't go on its way economically and politically and everything, the corruption and all that goes with it in the world. Something has to happen to change the whole business. And man, everything man puts his hand to is only ruining it. It tells us the Lord is coming. But I want to tell you, the people of the world, they're not going to know until the Lord comes and takes away to Himself all the Christians. And they'll not know what's happening and what has happened until they're all taken away. Everyone that's saved by God's grace, taken away, caught away in a moment of time. And the world will not know. You're living in a Christian home. You may come home from school one day. And parents gone. Maybe you wake up in the morning. You're used to hearing the call of mom or dad in the morning. Why, that's the way it is in our home. Usually, anyway. You got to call for the boy or you got to call for the girl and come get up. You got to go to school. If it was to play or something, of course, you'd never have to call them. They're awake immediately. But when the school or something, you call them every morning, time for school, time to get up and get ready for school. No call in the morning. No name spoken in the morning. Why? Why, in maybe the quiet hours of the night, that the Lord has returned. And the boys and the girls didn't know. And then there's no phone call. Why, waiting for somebody to call to invite you to the meeting, to invite you to the gospel meeting. But there's no phone call now. And the phone doesn't ring. And you come to the hall, maybe, to attend the gospel meeting. And the doors are locked. And there's no people coming. And no lights on. Why is it? The Lord has come. And you didn't know it. The Lord has come and has taken away every believer, every Christian. And they're gone home, gone to be with Christ. And you didn't know it, friends. You didn't realize it. You didn't recognize what was happening, what was taking place. And the Lord comes and you're left behind. I want to tell you, that's solemn days. When I think of the Lord's return, I think of the solemnness of the Lord's return. In verse 39, and knew not until a flood came and took them all away. So shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So when I think of the Lord's coming, just as it was in Noah's day, do you know what was happening in Noah's day? Do you know the Spirit of God was working in Noah's day? I believe the Spirit of God was working in the days of Noah. There's a verse that says in Genesis chapter 6, there's a verse that says, my spirit shall not always strive with man in the days of Noah. And God would not say that my spirit will not always strive with man if the Spirit was not striving with man. And the Spirit of God was striving in the days of of Noah to warn people, to awaken people to their need of God's salvation, and the Spirit of God has been working in your lives. There's some in this meeting tonight, and if you were honest, you would have to acknowledge you've never had thoughts about eternity like you've had in the last few days or the last few weeks. Why, I thought more about eternity and about dying and about meeting God and about getting right with God and my sins, the question of my sins and where I'm going to be in eternity and what it's going to be like when I cross that pillar of death. I've never had these thoughts in my life before. I want to tell you, friend, that's the Spirit of God that is striving in your life, dealing with you to awaken you to your need of God's salvation. But the Bible reminds me, in the days of Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And when the Lord returns, friend, you will not have no more thoughts about getting God's salvation, or you won't be able to get saved. The door of salvation is going to be closed eternally. And I think of that as a solemn day. If that happened tonight, friend, would that be solemn? Would that make this meeting a solemn meeting? It sure would. If you was getting your last call for heaven tonight, this would be the most solemn meeting that you ever sat in, that we ever preached in. This would be the most solemn meeting, friend, that Victoria Drive ever had. If this was the last night upon earth for a soul to get God's salvation before that shout is given and the Lord returns. And you know something? It could happen. I was crossing the Gulf one night to Newfoundland, and on the old ferry, not the new ones, but it was one of the older ones, it's always down getting a lunch before you lay down to go to sleep. And when we came up, the news was on the television. And there was two or three fellas standing there, and they said, can that be real? They had just come up too, so we stopped. And he asked one of the fellas on the boat, he says, is that just a show, or is that the real news broadcast? And he said, well, as far as I know, it's the news broadcast. And there was a man on there, one of these famous announcers that's for the news, and he was talking about some problem that they had in the Middle East with an enemy submarine, and that had attacked a warship, an American warship, and they had gotten in touch with the White House, and the White House was on there speaking on the television. The president was speaking. And they were preparing a number of warships and a number of warplanes, and then they had news that there was a missile that was aimed at the America, and there was a man sitting watching this, and you could see his color going, and he was getting grayer and grayer. And one of the men working on the boat, he said to the judge, he said, are you all right, sir? And you know what was happening? Because we thought that was reality. We thought it was reality, and I thought it was. They said, man, they said, this can't be happening. And I couldn't explain it all tonight the way it was. But of course, we found out after, there had been a program that they'd put on somewhere in the ship. It was called 5 Minutes to Midnight. That's what they called it. 5 minutes, or countdown to midnight, maybe the way it was. Countdown to midnight. And I thought to myself, as we were sailing across, about halfway across that Cabot Strait, and I thought, the thought went through my mind, that, why, if this is really happening, what in the world am I doing out here? I should be home with my family. I'd rather be where the family is. Stuck out here with this taking place. And as I thought about that after, a countdown to midnight. Well, friend, we're on a countdown to midnight. We're on a countdown right to that moment when that midnight hour is going to strike. And God's beloved Son is going to come from heaven. He's going to rise from that seat that he sits on tonight. And he's coming back to the air. And he's coming back with a purpose that he might call to himself every person that has been redeemed by the precious blood that he shed at the place called Calvary. When he suffered on the cross, friend, he was making provision that people might be saved. And I'm glad for the moment and time in my life when I stop resisting the Spirit of God and the dealings of God in my life, and I yield it to him. And I ask God to save me. If there's, and I'm glad for the moment and time in my life when I stop resisting the Spirit of God and the dealings of God in my life, and I yield it to him. And I ask God to save me. If there's salvation for a sinner like me, I said, oh God, if there's salvation for a sinner like me, that's what I want with all my heart. And I tell you, friend, I found that there was salvation for the sinner. I found the Lord Jesus was welcoming sinners. And I fitted into that class. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The separation at his return, two in the field, two in the bed, in another place, two at the mill. There's going to be a separation at the Lord's return. This meeting is divided tonight. If the Lord comes there, this meeting is over. This meeting will be divided. Those that are saved, instantly missing. Seats that will be empty. Those that are not saved, of course, that's going to be quite a test, isn't it? That's going to test every person in this gospel meeting tonight, from the speaker to the back of this building when the Lord comes. It's going to test my salvation. It's going to test the reality of my profession when the Lord comes. What a test. Will you pass the test, I wonder? Will all of us here pass that test? Well, friend, that's what the gospel is all about. There is salvation provided. There is a salvation to be enjoyed. There is a salvation to possess. And we trust, friend, tonight that you might possess that great salvation. Trust the Lord Jesus. Receive him as your personal Savior. Remember, tomorrow might be one day too late.